Hey guys, just wanted to tell you quickly about a great podcast that I love called What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. It's hosted by two moms, Margaret Abels and Amy Wilson, who have six kids between them and have totally opposite parenting styles. Margaret is a laid-back, things-will-work-out kind of mom. Amy is the by-the-book mom who loves to consult parenting manuals. Each week, they take on a parenting dilemma and solve it using research, debate, and a ton of humor. They've solved picky eating, homework battles, kid-friend breakups, and much more. You can subscribe to What Fresh Hell wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, welcome back to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam, and here's Danielle.
Hi.
All right, ready?
I don't know.
We're not going to fight this episode, are we?
I don't know.
if it's at all possible, can we? I don't have the energy for fighting right now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. Let's do the interesting and informative aspects of finance today.
I know none of those things.
And well, okay, so you'll learn along the way.
No, I have
possible.
No interest. You know, I always get so excited about researching. Like, I research the shit out of a topic before we do an episode on it.
Okay.
I read about it. I listen to podcasts about it, audiobooks, like, and I love doing it. Finance, I sat down so many times and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to fucking research finance. Like, I hate this.
It's so funny because I'm completely the opposite. I love this stuff.
I know. I can tell. From we have so much to show for it.
Yes, you do. No, but I love all aspects of finance. I love the investing. I love the, you know, the whole, well, we'll get into all of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no way this is going to be a one-part episode.
No. That's why I'm saying I think the fighting should be part two.
If we could control
ourselves.
No, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. And quite honestly, we've fought about this so many times over the years. But I have to say that when I was thinking about like this whole, our personal experiences with finance, God, I really like had a whole therapy session with myself. I was like completely dissecting my childhood with finances and coming up with things that I didn't even realize I was feeling. And I self-diagnosed myself with a few things, and it was a whole, I saved us so much money by just being my own therapist through all of this.
I'm curious as to how you were able
Oh my God. It was brilliant. So you'll hear all about it.
But
I feel like now I can just do an entire episode or two just on my childhood.
I thought you were going to say finance, and I thought
Yeah. Finance and my childhood.
Okay.
Yeah, like how it impacted my life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, I completely understand.
Yeah.
I get.
Mm-hmm. So, well,
it's not that much different than it was when you were a child,
well,
is it?
Well, that's what I want to get into a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot.
Oh, so you realize like that it's not that much different.
Then when you were a child versus today?
Yeah.
No. I completely understand how it could be very similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think your reasoning is different than my reasoning. But okay.
Sure.
Okay. So I also feel like it's been so long since we've caught up on everything. Like when I was in New York this past weekend, I saw this show and they sit around, and in the beginning, it's like all these storytellers and writers and everything. And they sit around in the beginning and they say, let's have a family meeting. And I feel like that's what we need in Marriage and Martinis. Like we need like the first like 10 or 15 minutes to be like a family community meeting to just like catch up on shit.
When?
Like before the episode. Or in a separate episode, like there's so much I have to catch up on and say, but I don't want to do it now because it will take forever and I don't want to take away from the finance aspect of things. But I wanted to talk about my trip to New York.
Well, you could do a separate, like a quick thing.
Yeah, I guess so. But I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to talk about, I tried CBD oil for the first time last weekend. You know I did.
Yeah, I'm saying, I'm confirming. You did.
I went to this amazing place for postpartum moms when I was in New York. I went to Glennon Doyle's show when I was in New York and Abby Wambach and everything. It was, I have so much to catch up on, but I guess I will not do it now. Because we talk about finance.
Do you want to? I mean, do you want to?
No, I guess not. I don't know. People get mad.
Why? Oh, because too much like before.
Yeah, too much before. Too much foreplay.
Is there such a thing?
I mean.
I mean, for me, yeah.
Right, exactly. Okay, so finance.
Okay. Wow.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I feel like people aren't going to want to hear. Yeah, I'll do it in a separate thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
No.
One other thing I have to say, we're getting close to the holidays. Mm-hmm. I am really proud of the sponsorships that we've put together for the holidays.
Yes.
I worked really hard. You watched me. I worked really hard trying to get sponsors for the holidays that, first of all, that people are actually going to be interested in and products that we really, really love. We were approached by a lot of companies. I turned a lot of companies away because I just didn't think that I wanted it to be stuff that our listeners are going to like want ideas for gifts and everything for the holidays. And they're going to be excited by what, you know, our sponsors and that we're helping.
Yeah. But I feel like that's kind of how we roll anyway. Like
totally.
We don't take on sponsors that we don't think fits our
community.
Absolutely.
But it's easier to get sponsors during the holidays because everybody, you know, because everyone's looking to advertise. But I was very, very selective. And I really hope you'll listen to the ads. You know, as always, when you support our sponsors, you support us. Also, our sponsors, we try to get sponsors for the most part that really give back. So it's a really easy, nice way to be a little charitable just by buying through some of these companies. I think we have some fantastic brands and products that we're going to. So
you guys get something, we benefit, mm-hmm. and you're being charitable.
We get to keep doing the podcast.
Oh, that too.
Yeah. Okay.
All good.
So finance, go ahead.
Yeah. Me, go ahead. How do you want to structure this? Because you sent me my questions to fill out and they were pretty kind of like, okay, I didn't feel uncomfortable in any way answering these questions. I didn't answer them thinking that fights would start. Like these were kind of generalized.
Benign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Yeah. I didn't know where you would go with it. And honestly, I've been sending you really specific questions in past episodes and you've been kind of ignoring them. So yeah. I figured, why am I going to put the time in?
Well, I did. I answered half of them. So we're good.
For me, I always think about, I was trying to think about growing up and I always talk about how, you know, my dad he had a very stressful relationship with money, like really stressful. And I think it was a product of, you know, the times of when they grew up, their parents grew up, you know, during the Depression and everything. And I think that he was always fearful about being poor, I think. And his dad worked his ass off to put, you know, my dad went to great college, medical school, and his dad worked his butt off to put him through. And he just, my dad could never get over that fear of like being, like not having money. And I think that really affected me. And on the other side of things, it was such a dichotomy because then there's my mom, there's Linda, who like was never worried about money and sort of made it as if we were, you know, he made it like we were one step away from losing it all. And my mom made it as if we didn't have to worry at all. So like it was such a disconnect between the two of them that I had no idea what the fuck was going on ever.
Yeah, I think that's probably very common.
Do you?
I think it plays a major role with us as well. And I think our kids might see it. See that too.
Well, they say opposites attract in a lot of ways. I think when how my parents are opposites, I do think that they work really well off of each other and it works as a balance. You know, my mom's really funny and fun. My dad's more serious. He always made sure we were academically motivated while my mom made sure we had great social lives. Like they did a lot of really good bouncing off each other. I think the finance aspect of things was just totally problematic. Like, yeah. That just there was no, it wasn't a balance. It was just like a total dichotomy. Like, there was nothing working about any of it. And I just want to say one more thing. When we talk about finance, obviously, and money, everybody's situation is unique. Look, I'm not, when I talk about struggling or whatever, I'm not talking about poverty. I'm not talking about, you know, someone always has it worse. Someone always has it better. This is our particular experience.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I just need to say that though, because it is a sensitive topic and people will say, oh, well, at least you grew up with something or blah, blah. I know, right. I was very blessed. We're so blessed in so many ways, but I don't think that should take away from the fact that I do think that a little bit, like, there's, you know, we all have some kind of childhood trauma and it affects us in ways that, you know, it's still heartbreaking and it's harmful to us in the long run. And I think finance is a big one for me.
Well, yeah, we both come from, we were pretty good, well off in our childhood and we didn't see poverty. We didn't see, well, for me, from my childhood, when I was very young, we didn't have a lot of money. We barely had money. You know, we came from Brooklyn and moved out to New Jersey, where my dad started this business. And, you know, prior to starting this business, we were struggling. But I was too young to notice or be affected or even know it was happening. So I kind of grew up when things were getting better and then things got really good. So that's kind of what I saw and remember, where financially my memory of things was we were always doing pretty good. Okay, so that's so I never saw or remember poverty. I never saw my parents struggling. Let's put it that way. Even though I know they were at one point, I was too young to see it.
Did you get like an allowance or anything when you were growing up?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Like a consistent, this is how much you get for taking out the garbage.
No, no, it wasn't structured that way.
So what was it? Is it a shit show like ours where we're like, where Ian's like, how much do I get if I walk Billy, empty the dishwasher, you know, clean up my room, blah, blah, blah. Can I get $45 for that?
No, no, no. It was nothing like that.
Will you leave me alone? Uh-huh. Okay.
No. I don't remember exactly if there was a structured allowance or if I had to do something to get money. Like, I kind of don't even remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have this weird thing that I don't remember things very well from my childhood.
Yeah, you might want to talk to somebody about
no,
that.
No, it runs in my family.
There's a consistency there.
Yeah, well,
no,
yeah.
No, I know. I think you had a very normal childhood.
No, I had a very normal childhood, mm-hmm. but there's just something that is blocking, like,
no, I think
that
that's a lot of us. I mean, I remember moments of my childhood, but I definitely remember. And anyway, they say that your memory is all fucked up anyway when you look back. Like, if you put the same people, you know, like if you and your sister sat down and had the same memory, it would be completely different for both of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sure. It would be so it's not even accurate. But for me, I had a very overwhelming feeling being a kid of like hearing these constant arguments between my parents about money. My dad constantly being stressed and upset about money. Like, and he was a doctor. So again, there's so many disconnects of my growing up that he was this doctor, but again, he worked in the inner city and his patients, you know, he was the type of doctor that everybody wants. Like, he stayed as long as with a patient as they needed. And, you know, he took every kind of insurance that, like, he was not in it for the money and it showed. But in a good way, but also in the way of I don't think he made what other doctors made. But certainly I grew up like, you know, I can remember being a teenager and getting in a fender bender and my heart palpitating because it was going to be $300 and I was going to have to tell him. And my dad is a wonderful father, amazing man. He just really struggled with this, you know, this mental thing he had about money.
Yeah. See, that's so funny because I grew up so opposite where, I've been in accidents and the only questions were, you know, are you okay? And you have insurance. It's all good. Don't worry about it. You know, so.
Yeah, I remember when we started dating and I got in an accident. Actually, it wasn't my fault for once. I mean, it's usually my fault when I get an accident. But it was actually this old woman. Remember, she backed out and hit me in ShopRite.
Of course I did.
And then she tried to blame it on me.
And she was like 95.
No, no. Now she was probably like 65, 70.
Really?
But
no,
she,
I met them. If you remember,
cause yeah, because I made you go because I was scared of them. She made me cry.
You made me go. I met her and her husband at the diner to settle whatever was happening with insurance. Mm-hmm. They were old.
I just remember old. You saying to me, like, I remember being scared to call you and tell you about it for you to come, and you being like, and I was like crying on the phone. You're like, why are you crying? First of all, she made me cry. She was a bitch. Second of all, I was like, Are you mad? And you were like, no, what? Are you okay? Like, no, I'm not mad. And I was like, really? Like, you're not angry?
No, my first thought was, are you okay? Number one.
Right.
And number two, how bad's the damage? Insurance has got this. You know,
right.
We've got a deductible. It's not that big a deal. We can
right.
take care of this.
I don't even think we weren't even married yet. We were no. still dating, I think. But anyway, I called you because it was much fucking better than calling my dad.
Have I ever discussed my... I had two major car accidents.
I don't know. We should do a car accident episode.
I'm not going to, I won't get into it now if I haven't spoken about it before, but they're really interesting stories.
Well, I have a really interesting story too, but everybody has to promise not to judge me.
Well, you already spoke about
it. I don't think so. I think I took it out because I was uncomfortable with it.
Oh, you made me take it out?
I think the feedback from my friends was I should take it back.
Oh, really?
I took it out and I took it out. I don't know. I would need everybody to sign some type of no judgment clause.
Oh, please.
Before I... I was young. I was really young. I was like 17. Okay.
No, but mine were really good. So
right.
I don't know if I spoke
about
it. Well,
maybe we'll do an accident episode where we talk about like accidents we had in school, kindergarten, peeing, and then movement. That was like last week when Jonah and I were stuck in traffic and our 7-year-old, well, he's 8 now. We were stuck in traffic.
As of 4 months ago. Yes.
I know. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got confused. We were stuck in traffic and he said, what is going on? Why are we sitting here so long? I was like, someone had an accident. He's like, all this because somebody peed in their pants. Just like a few other things going back to, because when I was thinking about all this, I really was like, I was sitting down and I was like dissecting it all. And, you know, a few other things. So first of all, I went to private school. I was not poor growing up. I got to this private school. I was, by comparison, like the poorest kid. I worked 40 hours a week at Banana Republic, you know, because number one, I wanted to have a nice wardrobe. I wanted, you know, I liked nice clothes and everything. I liked all that.
You know why you worked at Banana Republic?
Why did I work?
Because it was my favorite store and I would go in from time to time and you were hoping to see me.
No,
not true.
No, right. I used to run in the back and hide from you. Right. So I worked hard. Like, I think my dad wanted to send us to private school so badly because he wanted us to have the best education. But what came with that was this feeling of sort of being less than in so many ways. First of all, I was less than in the academic department too. I was by far, you know, I was not one of the smartest kids. I definitely failed some classes. Like, it was kind of a shit show. And I was a good athlete and my teachers liked me. That was kind of it. But I couldn't fit in so many ways. Like, kids were going to Aspen on the weekends for ski trips. And, you know, like, I was sledding in my backyard. Like, it was just, I could not afford what they had. And I looked around and, you know, my brother and my sister had gone to the same school before me. They're older than me. And I think they were fine with all of it. Like, they didn't feel the need to have all of that. They're different people than I am. And, you know, mm-hmm. they're super level-headed like that. And they were totally fine just being, you know, average monetarily or probably lower than average monetarily. I wasn't. I really, really felt the envy, the jealousy. Like,
well,
I was super jealous of these kids. I really was.
Yeah, well, I can understand because I was in the exact same position. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to public schools my whole life up until my second freshman year when I was
sent. That's right. I did third grade twice.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why we're sitting here together.
So nice. I had to do it twice.
When I was sent out to boarding school and right down the street from you in Princeton, same boat, same scenario. As mine was a boarding school, yours was a day school. So I lived in high school and I had kids from all over the world. And I came to find that, you know, we had like royalty children.
Yeah.
It was insane the kind of people that we had at this school. There was so much money and I was just like you. I had nothing. I, I, I would go for my...
Well, you were driving around in a BMW.
With my mom's
good.
BMW, where okay. everybody else had their BMW.
No, okay, but I didn't even have... My parents didn't even have a BMW.
But I was in the same situation where, you know... But, like, I didn't care. I didn't envy it. I didn't... Yeah, I wanted it, of course. Who doesn't want to have more money? I found my crew, the people like me, and we were just... We were great. We went into town. We hung out. We had as much money as we had. We spent it how much we could. And that was it. And we had fun. We didn't care about the people who went to Aspen for the weekends or who went
I wanted to Aspen. I don't even ski and I wanted to go to Aspen.
We found people who were having parties in Princeton and we were just happy.
Yeah, we did that too. But I definitely, I don't know, maybe it was being a girl, although I'm sure a boy would feel the same way. But I felt it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think my dad was...
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. I'm not judging.
Right. And I don't blame my dad either because I think he was probably like, when he went to college and he probably could barely afford college also, his dad sent him. I think my dad was probably like, oh my God, this is all I care about is the academics and I'm so lucky and I'm so blessed and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fuck the academics. I want a fucking Porsche summer car and Jeep Wrangler winter car. Like, right. I want, you know what I mean? So it was just my reaction to it was, and I worked my ass off to make enough money. But when I was working at Banana Republic, I started when I was like 16. I was a really good sales girl. Like, and they would give you bonuses if you were the top salesperson or whatever. So I was like raking in the dough for a 15, 16 year old, whatever it was. But I would have so many fucking clothes on hold that literally it wasn't like I was putting like, okay, 25% into savings. And the day that fucking paycheck came, it was gone.
Yeah, your paycheck was in Banana Republic.
My paycheck was just stayed in. It did not leave out the door of Banana Republic.
Yeah, but at 15, 16, that's okay. You know,
well, I don't know. I think that there are kids who probably like, I don't know that save. I had zero money in a bank account, but I was making probably a couple hundred dollars a week back in 1993. Yeah. That was a lot of money. So anyway, so that's sort of, I think I always felt envy about money.
Yeah, but we all do. There's nothing wrong with having envy.
I don't know. Had
somebody.
I been in our public school, I think I would have just felt like I was just a regular kid. Like, I didn't have to feel envious of everybody. Maybe for something else, but I'm talking about money.
Right.
All right. So what was the next question?
First question. Because we have to, let's take a break.
Okay.
We should take a break real quick. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Check it out. CBD is everywhere these days. And for the past few years, I've had a ton of people telling me I should take it because my anxiety, my back pains.
You're like the prime candidate for
this. I sure am. Yes. And when I researched it, it's so overwhelming because now there are so many companies who are producing CBD oil and it's hard to know if you're getting the real thing or the best quality. So I really took my time and I researched a lot because honestly, I was hesitant about trying it. And I finally found a company that I loved called Feels, F-E-A-L-S, and I felt really comfortable with them. Actually, when we were in New York last weekend, we were staying in a hotel, and my neck and my back were, so shockingly, killing me. And I started to get anxious that I couldn't sleep, and we were going to have to get up the next day, and I wasn't going to have gotten enough sleep. And I didn't want to be exhausted the next day, so I took the CBD oil. I knew I could take Advil for my back, but that wouldn't have helped with my anxiety. Within 45 minutes, I was calm and I fell asleep.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing, actually. To work on something like that for you, I was very impressed with this.
Yeah,
thing.
It was great. I really, really loved it. I plan on using it a lot. And this Feels is they have tinctures. And tinctures, you know, you put it under your tongue. And they are the safest, most effective delivery system for CBD. And the CBD is more rapidly and efficiently absorbed for maximum benefit. The effects last longer than they do from smoking or vaping without the negative byproducts. Feels is grown with care and hand-harvested by Colorado and Oregon farmers following organic farming practices. Their goal is to produce the purest end product available. Before Feels reaches your hands, they test every batch produced with a third-party lab to ensure purity and consistency. And every batch comes with a certificate of analysis verifying the Feels you've received is crafted with only the finest ingredients. So head to feels.com/MNM to get 50% off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com, F-E-A-L-S. Shopify.com/MNM to get 50% off automatically with your first order and free shipping. That's Feels.com/MNM, 50% off your first order, free shipping.
All right. So you asked me first question, my relationship with money over the years.
I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut. I just keep drinking.
Well, okay. So the way I started out was I started work young, right? Not right out of college. I bailed out of college. So I was 19 in the workplace. So I was making money as a young kid. So I had money. My relationship with money like quickly became a passion for me. Like I loved finance. I loved making money. I loved having money. I loved spending money. I love investing money. And I tried to be good. I really did for a long time too. I was saving. I was spending. I was doing it all. And I was having so much fun with it. Anybody that I knew, they didn't really have it. They were, you know, either in college still working, you know, part-time making minimum amounts of money. I was like the guy with money when I was with people. I enjoyed being the guy who was able to help out, being the guy to pay for things, being the guy with the nice car, being, you know, I really enjoyed it. So from the start, I really liked money. I liked making money. So my relationship started out.
I get it. I'm a fan of money.
As a young kid, was I had it right away. Whether that was good or bad, that's maybe yet to be seen or not. I'm not sure. As things progressed and life happened, marriage happened, kids happened, and I had to kind of figure out, well, wait, what is money for? And it, I don't even know if I'm still there yet. I don't
what
think
do you mean,
we're
what
still
is money
there
for?
Because
in America, we have no fucking idea. Like Trevor Noah, I just listened to Trevor Noah and Howard Stern, and he was like, only in America do you have no fucking clue how much money is enough money.
Completely. And how much stuff is enough stuff, and how much things cost? Is it, you know, is it worth it? And are you really spending money on things, thinking about the value of what you're spending it on? No. I don't think that's the case, at least for us.
Are you talking now or before?
Completely the whole time.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Right? So from the beginning, I had the money and I didn't care what things cost. I would spend it. And that lasted for a long time up until about 3 weeks ago. Right? So when you have this relationship with money and then you finally realize
that money doesn't want to have a relationship with you.
Yeah. For us, now that our kids are older and
You've been catfished by money?
In the beginning, with the kids, it was kind of like, oh, I have to pay for formula and I have to pay for Gymboree class and I have to pay for bouncy seats. Like, it was all like these little kind of things that, like, you're still, all right, I don't really have to think about these expenses. You know, where we were financially. I know for a lot of people, those are, you know, expenses that they have to budget, and, you know, we probably should have too, but didn't need to. But now that they're getting older, we have to think about college. We have to think about changing clothes every season, or I don't know. I don't even know. Every what? 2 months? I don't know.
I like they change underwear like once every 4 weeks.
Where we live, things are just so freaking expensive and getting more costly every year. So my relationship with money is not so sweet and nice as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And now I'm more like I totally get your dad. I totally get his relationship with money. Like, not to the extent maybe that he is or always has been with money, but I kind of get like, oh, hey, well, maybe you don't need those sneakers for the kids. You need these sneakers because they're $20 less. You know, like, I'm thinking that way these days where I never thought that way before. So my transition of how I feel and think about money has completely and drastically changed, at least over the last couple of years. Don't you think, or no?
Yeah, it's when I think about, you mentioned my dad and everything, and look, yeah, I think certainly from the beginning, we both could have had some more of my dad in me. But I went to high school, and then my dad never said to us, like, he was the guy who education meant everything to him, or a lot to him. So when I was getting ready to apply to college, he never said to me, you can only go to a state school, or you can only go to a school in one of these states, or that costs this much money. And I chose NYU. And NYU, number one, is like the most, one of the most expensive schools in the country. And number two, it's in New York City. And living in New York City, you know, there's no, you don't, you know, there's no dollar pitcher night when you're a student.
Yeah,
at,
it's not just
NYU.
The school expense. It's
Yeah. And,
secondary
and,
expenses.
And my dad, you know, again, he gave me like $200 a month, which I don't want to sound like a spoiled brat, but you cannot live in New York City on $200 a month. So again, I went to NYU, like seeing every, you know, in the middle of Greenwich Village and Soho with all this great food and this shopping. And I'm not blaming him. It was, he gave me such a gift. But again, I was sort of thrown into this like, oh shit, like here I am again, where I am surrounded by all this beautiful stuff and I can afford none of it. And, you know, I worked to just try to, you know, my friends weren't working when they were, and it was hard. Like I was holding a job and going to classes and everything so that I could try to maintain a certain lifestyle. And that wasn't even, it was, I just wanted to be able to like cigarettes, alcohol.
Well, cigarettes were cheap back then.
You know, not when you're smoking six packs a day. They're
no,
not.
You weren't smoking six packs a day.
No, but you know, I wanted to be able to like buy what I wanted to buy. And so again, and then when I met you, it was sort of like, holy fuck. Like, you know, you're like, we talked about in the gambling episode, you're handing me $100 bills and we're going to the restaurants that I always wanted to go to. And you're taking me shopping and buying me shit and you drive a nice car. And like, I was very enamored with all of that. And you never made me feel guilt about money. You just bought things for me. And a little bit, I was sort of like, oh my God, I'm never going to have that money stress ever again.
How'd that work out?
Like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you sold it well. Like you, I really thought that, you know, I guess one of the reasons why we talk about that, I really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I guess really, I really just thought you were going to have the financial part down. Like, at least I was upfront with you. Like, you knew I was a slob when I married you. I didn't hide anything.
Yeah, but I thought you could get better.
I can't. Yeah.
No.
But, you know, I like, at least I was very, this is who I am. But I didn't realize that you weren't going to, like, be able to adjust to different financial situations.
Well, that's what I was saying before, where life happens and expenses happen.
No, it's not life happens, because...
What do you mean?
Because just like I was thrown into the whole high school thing and the college thing, then when we're finally in our like nice house in this nice neighborhood, very, you know, like basic average neighborhood and everything, you uproot me and put me again in this fucking huge ass 6,000 plus square foot house where I can't afford any fucking furniture. And I can't afford it to keep up with the Joneses in the neighborhood and the nice cars and this and that. And all of a sudden, I am worrying once again about when I didn't want to move to that house at all. We've spoken about that too. I really was devastated by moving there. And once again, I'm thrown into this hole. All of a sudden, I'm stressed as fuck about money.
A lot of what you're saying so far is about your perception or wanting to be doing what everybody else is doing. I don't know
if you
realize that.
But I'm saying I'm constantly...
No, but before you even met me, like from high school where everybody else had more money than you and you wanted to be able to be doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I did. I'm not like that anymore.
No, today, no.
No way. Not even a little. But I'm saying that I wasn't the type of person. My brother and my sister were very able to be in that environment and be like, I'm just being honest. They were able to be in that environment and be like, so what if I don't have what they have? It affected me. I think psychologically, like it did. I'm just being honest. Right or wrong, it did. But then when you really wanted to go into that house and everything and you were willing to like sacrifice everything for it.
Well, that's not true, because back then I wasn't sacrificing everything to get to that house, because it was more than reachable. It wasn't just a pipe dream.
Come on.
At that point?
It was not more than reachable. If it was more than reachable, we'd still have money in the bank.
No, because things change.
Okay, you were doing a fucking spreadsheet every single night trying to work the numbers. So don't make it like we just easily went into that house and then things went south. No. Every night you were saying to me, are you willing to give it all up for this house? Because I'm willing to give it all up for this house. Are you willing to make sacrifices for this house? Because I'm willing to make sacrifices for this house. And that's what ended up happening. We made so many sacrifices for this house. And then our houses became like the fucking, like those Russian dolls where you open one up, take a smaller one out. Then you open one up, take a smaller one out. Like,
is there a tiny house in there?
That's that. Pull it out. I know. Eventually we'll get there. But yeah, it's so, look, I'm not trying to play victim here. I'm just saying that I think that for me that it was a little bit like, I've never been able to just feel at peace, you know? I didn't ask to go to private school. Like, I just kind of wanted to be in a place where I could just fit in and blend in. And when I'm not in that, if we had lived in that same neighborhood we were living in, I don't think I would have felt the need to have extravagances. But when I saw other people having it, I was a little bit like, yeah, I kind of want it too.
When you saw everything going on with your parents, whether they were arguing about money or their differences and how they feel about money, did you, as a kid, did they ever teach you about money?
No.
Your dad in his own way,
no.
Your mom in her
no.
own way?
No, never. In fact, my mom never really like took us shopping or anything. And I don't want to speak badly. I love my parents very much. I'm very close with both of them. But, you know, just like we all, maybe not all of us, but so many of us, you know, there's definitely things that I see were problematic for me. You know, she never took us out and took us shopping. She never took us to a store and was like, okay, you could spend $150 on your fall wardrobe. I'll sit here while you try stuff on. We'll do the math. We'll take it up to the front counter and we'll pay for it. It was more like, here's my credit card. Go get your fall wardrobe. You know, when I was like even 14, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. Somebody, a grown-up gives you their credit card because she didn't want to come with us. Like, she was doing something else. Or a grown-up gives you, like, I didn't budget. I wasn't like.
She asked you to go on your own with her credit card.
Yeah.
And like budget.
Yeah.
While you're
and then my dad would get so angry because obviously I would spend too much money with it.
Right.
It seems
understandable.
Yeah. And it seems like a fantastic thing. Like, oh, wow, you got to take a credit card. You got to go. But the whole time there was so much anxiety about it because the whole time I'm spending, no matter how much I know on the other side of it, I'm going to hear from my dad.
But did he ever explain to you why? Like,
yeah, we don't have enough money. I don't make that much money, this and that. But no, just as so many of us, I don't think were sat down. I was never sat down and said, listen, this is the budget. This is what you, and I think most parents didn't do, like, I don't know. Did your parents
no,
do that
not
with
at
you?
All. If my mother ever took me clothes, she came and she wanted to take me clothes shopping. And I don't think there was ever like, this is how much you have to spend.
No, I remember her taking you to Bloomingdale's and I was, oh my God, I was so jealous. Yeah, I sat there and like watched you try on clothes for her to buy you a Bloomingdale's.
Yeah, she was
like, wow, this is great.
I think she enjoyed it. She liked taking
Yeah, sure.
She had
fun. Yeah. So, of course, my daughter wants nothing to do with shopping. I was always like, I can't wait till I can take my daughter and I'll take her shopping. She has no interest. I think that, no, I was never taught, obviously school never taught us, and I never even had to take, like, in college, I never even had to take a math class. I never had to take any, once I was done, I think with, I don't know, what was I, like, I don't even know what I was in junior of high school, like, dividing or something.
Well,
like,
that's, yeah, I mean, do they even today teach this
yes,
stuff in
financial
college?
Literacy. Oh, college, I don't know.
Well, high school, I assume you're getting.
Yeah, financial literacy, they call it. Mia, our oldest, she's in high school. She has to take a year of financial literacy.
Oh, thank God. So is that new? Because mm-hmm. we had none of this. Mm-hmm. I never learned about mortgages, taxes, mm-mm. insurance. Like, you're never taught that stuff.
No.
And I can't believe that that's not a curriculum, like in the curriculum.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of one of the most things you need to know
mm-hmm.
ever.
Yeah.
And that's maybe why so much of us are failing at it, unfortunately, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I think so. And I also think that you and I, listen, we have not had the best communication skills on many levels. And I think that when we were going through the height of all our issues, when shit just hit the fan, or always, we were always really good at having fun together. And that meant, number one, spending a lot of money.
Yes.
We would, after a long week of working or the kids or maybe feeling distant from each other, the weekends were always our time to reconnect. And we would do that in a very like debaucherous way, however you want to pronounce it. Like we would eat expensive meals and, you know, drink expensive alcohol and, you know, now you Uber everywhere. We didn't do that then, but, you know, cabs or whatever. Our self-healing, our self, what do you call it? Like therapy for us was spending money.
Yes.
So that was on top of everything else that we just were constantly ignoring our issues and trying to remedy them by going out, having a really good time, feeling better for a little while, self-soothing or whatever that is. And then you wake up the next day. Obviously, nothing is better. Everything is just as bad, and you're more in debt than you were before.
Well, yeah. So I think that's where that all stemmed from, was going back to what I said before, where I started with money because, you know, I didn't go to college and finish and get a job and get a low-paying job and grow from there. So I was always accustomed to this lifestyle of having money and wanting to spend money and knowing that I could do that. And it came to a point where I never wanted to give that up. And maybe that was the house thing, and the houses thing.
Oh, for sure.
Where I just wanted to keep growing as I was when I was younger. And I wanted
to
keep going
out. You were
out
to prove something.
I was out to prove something. I wanted to, I don't even know if it was show. I think it was more for me. And for us, then it was to show. Well, do you disagree?
Well, I mean, you keep saying to me, like, do you realize you're trying to compare yourself and this and that and whatever?
I said it once.
Okay, but that's exactly what you were doing. You were trying to put on a show for sure.
I don't know if it was a show for somebody
else. Like, you were so concerned about me living in a house that I didn't want? No, you weren't. You didn't give a shit about what I wanted.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I wanted to do the best that, not do the best. I wanted to have the most and the biggest. Because that's kind of what I was used to, and it was growing, and it was just kept getting bigger and bigger. And like, what else could I get? What else could I do? What else?
But everybody was telling you not to do it.
Almost everybody.
Right.
So that's where I think I just wanted more, and I just wanted it to keep happening. And I was definitely reaching to make this thing happen that I wasn't able to do anymore. And I was finding every stupid single way to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And I was able to. And then it all came crashing down because it wasn't feasible.
No, slowly, like one side of the house, then another side of the house.
They didn't really fall down. It was actually in a very nice house. But and it was new, so it didn't fall apart. But I just kept wanting to reach. And it's like drugs. You have to do more. Like once you have
enough.
Yeah,
it was enough, like a drug for you.
Yeah, like once you get to a point where it's not working for you anymore, you have to do more. Mm-hmm. And then you have to do more because you can't get high anymore unless you do more.
Right.
You know?
Okay, let's take a break. And when we come back, I do want to talk about some stuff that really is hard for me, and that I do think from everything I asked on Instagram and all the answers I got and everything is very relatable. So I want to talk a little bit about being a stay-at-home mom and how I think that affected us financially and some other stuff. I think this episode, the finance episode, is super relatable for people because so many of us have such good intentions and we don't know what we're doing, but we're trying. And one of the ways that you and I are really putting, you know, our best foot forward is by using the Ask Zeta app.
Well, yeah, judging by the feedback that you're getting on Instagram for the promoting of the finance episode with the questions you were asking, you got a lot of responses. People are thinking about this.
Thousands.
People need this.
Thousands of responses because
help,
it is.
Just like we do.
Yes, it's so relatable. And Zeta is a free tool. Free tool. You don't have to spend any money on it.
No promo code.
That takes over the money chores in your relationship. What does that mean? It means that in just 10 minutes, you can get set up on the platform and it will start to automatically track your spending, bills, net worth, and goals, both individually and as a couple. That's what's different about Zeta, why we love it so much. It is made for couples. You don't need any prior experience in using financial apps. Thank God.
Yeah.
You just need to connect your bank accounts, invite your spouse, and you'll be up and running. If you've ever used Mint, it works similarly, but with one key difference. It is built for couples in mind. You could leave memos to each other so you can remember what certain transactions were for. So when you say to me, why did you spend this?
Oh, that's my message to you. Like, what are you doing? What'd you spend this money
exactly.
on?
Yeah, exactly. You could set up a family budget and use it to make sure you stay on track for groceries, craft supplies, whatever it is you use in your house. You and your spouse can also set long-term goals like saving for college, which we need to do. And the app actually tracks your progress towards those goals.
So go to askzeta.com, A-S-K-Z-E-T-A.com, and just click download. It's free. No promo, no anything like that. Askzeta.com. Download it now. You know what's so awesome about Care Of? They make it so easy to get the right vitamins, supplements, and protein powders just for you, for your specific needs. Whether you're looking for glowing skin, more energy, better sleep, or something to support your health and fitness routine, Care Of helps you build and stick to a plan that's right for you. You start with this really cool and super fun online quiz, and it's just a few questions about your diet, lifestyle, and your health needs. And you immediately get a research-back recommendation for your specific supplements. As you already know, Danielle and I love those little packets they come in. They have your name printed on it. But did we mention that Care Of now cares about the environment, which is really cool because you know that we love companies that either give back or they're conscious about their environmental impact. They have these new compostable packs, and their website gives you all the information you need on how to compost them. So get back into a healthy routine now, especially with the holidays coming up. We're all a little busier and can use some extra support for energy, immunity, and stress, which can help you find balance and stay healthy. You've got to check out Care Of. So go to takecareof.com and enter code MNM50 for 50% off your first Take Care Of order. That's takecareof.com. Enter code MNM50 for 50% off.
I think that part of the issue started back when we were first married and I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Again, I never spoke to you about it or really asked you about it. But I did, on the other hand, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, but I also wanted to like live kind of simply. I had no intentions of buying big, nice things. And back then I really didn't. I didn't have any of that. I was very happy in, you know, we had a very nice house and everything. And I wanted to just be a stay-at-home mom. I think had somebody asked you, me or anybody else before you got married, what do you want your partner to do? What do you want your wife to do? I think you would have said, I want her to work because I want to have an extravagant lifestyle.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we were totally mismatched like that. Like I didn't want to work. I wanted to stay home with my kids. But I also didn't want all the, like I wasn't interested. I'm sure I wanted to like experience things and take vacations and everything, but I didn't want big nice houses, and I wasn't interested in, I wasn't looking at, you know, fancy cars, and I was fine with just like for a while at least living very modestly. And for us that modestly was probably, you know, very like high up for some people.
But do you think that I ruined that for you? Because your views changed in that, I think also. I mean, don't you think? Sometimes you would say, well, I want the nice car. I'm driving around with the kids all day.
Well, I think that's the same thing to do with my ring that I was sort of trying. Listen, you always, because I was a stay-at-home mom, and I think that this is a dynamic that is very common, because I was a stay-at-home mom and I wasn't bringing in any income, you really decided where all the money went. I really had no control over where our money went.
Well, that's also for, I think, lack of interest on your part.
No, we were just saying, when I would say I want a nicer car or whatever, it was because you automatically bought yourself the nicer car. You automatically went out and bought yourself the new phone, the new this, the new that. I had to ask for everything when I wanted it. I could never just go out and buy a big purchase on my own. And, you know, I'll say it, there's one purchase that I always think about. We moved into this house because you told me that we no longer could afford the other house. We moved in, we had these perfectly good televisions. This is my story to sort of sum it all up.
I know. We've heard this.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell it again because I do think that we move into this house, we have these perfectly fine TVs. You're doing this, the bar room first. You have the decorator come in. She does this room first. You don't say to me, what do you want to do first? It's automatically the bar room is getting done first because that's your room. And then I come home one day. We have these perfectly fine TVs on the wall. They are not, you know, like movie grade TVs, but they're perfectly fine. And movie I come home TVs. Like, you know, like they're not, maybe they weren't like the most luxurious TVs there are. I don't know shit about TVs.
Yeah, they were
what
old
the fuck?
School.
I don't,
like,
I have no
TVs.
Clue. They didn't have a knob on them or fucking antennas or anything. So they were fine. So I come home. There's not one fucking huge TV going up on the wall. There's two fucking huge TVs that you've bought. And you're like, oh, buy one, get one free. Yeah, buy a fucking $9,000 TV and get another one for free. But
the TVs aren't $9,000.
Okay, whatever it was, I get your point. I knew you were don't bullshitting. And then in the same week, you would say to me, what's this credit card bill? What? Why'd you go to Wegmans three times? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, there was always, just like when I was growing up, there was always such a disconnect between, wait a minute, he is spending all this money, and then I am getting, like, you know, like, chastised about buying the shit our family needs. Yes, maybe I was buying our kids, you know, nicer shoes than they needed and nicer clothes than they actually needed. And I wasn't always shopping at Kohl's back then or everything. But I was buying shit for our family. And it got to be that I was the bad guy for doing that stuff. And I would come home and then there would be fucking new TVs on the wall that we didn't even need. And we still have fucking holes underneath them because you didn't even take into account that, like, oh, if we get new TVs and all these holes are going to be in the walls. And it's 4 years later, there are still holes in the walls. But, like, who cares? Because the holes are in HD or whatever the fuck it is.
What are you even talking about?
Because there's still, like you just do shit and you don't think about, like, you don't even ask me or plan ahead or, like, we're, like, looking at in our family room now, sitting, there are holes in the walls because you could afford the TV, but then we couldn't afford to get the walls patched up for some reason because then you have to paint them again.
I completely agree with you and have done a 180 on the whole thing about...
Okay, I'm not done. One more thing.
Wait, I can't even...
Okay, one more thing.
Fine.
Because I know people are going to identify with this. There is a scene. I'm sorry. And then I will end my story. You can say whatever you want. You have the floor.
Anything.
Sure. I will shut my mouth. I promise you. No, I'm serious. Because I do have to get this out, though. And I do think I need some serious fucking therapy about this. Like, this week, when I was thinking about this, all kinds of emotions. And it's not just you. I know I'm at fault, too. I know I am. I don't know how or when.
I was going to say... Don't you minimize the fact that you can easily just say, I know I'm not perfect.
No, I know I'm not
perfect.
Don't
minimize
But
that.
I really don't think I fucked this up. I really don't think I fucked this up. Okay.
Yeah, finish.
So there's this scene in Big Little Lies 2. I don't know if anybody out there, and oh my God, no.
Are you referencing a part two of a movie series?
No, it's a show, and it's a phenomenal show. Everybody should watch it, if you haven't already. I don't know. I'm going to find the episode. It's going to be on our Friday 5 email this week because, holy shit, there's an episode where Laura Dern, you don't know who Laura Dern is. No. But, you know, they're all rich, right? They live in Monterey, California. They're all super, super rich. They, you know, gorgeous lifestyles. They live on the beach, all this stuff. So Laura Dern's husband is this big time producer in Hollywood. They, you know, they make a fortune. They have so much money. She's worked her ass off too. She's like, I don't know, a lawyer or some shit. I don't even know. So he loses all their money. I don't know if he gambles it or I don't remember. The show was on a little long ago, but there's one scene. They've lost everything. She's had to give back her wedding ring. She had to fire the nanny. You know, we all get upset when we have to fire the nanny.
Yeah,
pull her kid out of private school, everything. And she walks downstairs
like
in their
Creek.
House. I didn't see that yet. She walks downstairs in their house and she walks into a room in his like playroom, quote unquote. And he has, after they've lost everything, his vintage, gorgeous train set is sitting there and he's playing with it. And she is like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, I get to keep my train set because someone's going to pay for it, but I get to keep it and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, are you fucking kidding me? She takes a bat off the wall and she smashes the shit out of his train set. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? In that moment when I rewound it and watched it again.
Yeah.
because I felt that so hard, like that whole like we've lost everything and this and that, but you still get to have some of your shit that is what you want.
So the last of what they have, she demolishes.
Demolishes.
Instead
it's
of,
because it's his.
Instead of saying, oh, let's sell it because we need the money.
She was angry.
Oh, she was angry, so they don't need money anymore because she's angry.
I wanted, you don't know how badly, like, you know how many times I pictured taking a fucking baseball bat and smashing in those televisions?
So don't watch them. Prove a point.
Oh, God. You're always like, look at the quality of the HD. I'm like, what the fuck? It looks exactly the same.
Do you know why we got new? I'm not getting into it. Mm-mm. We already did this.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
But where was I? I didn't remember what I was about to say.
I don't know. Something about how I ruined our lives or something.
Right. Now, how you are minimizing how you're not to blame. That's what you were saying before.
Yeah, I'm not minimizing it. I think in this particular scenario, I really don't think I am to blame.
Okay. I disagree. I'm not saying you're to blame. I'm saying we're both to blame. I spent money on stupid shit, a lot of money to put us in a bad situation, which fucking sucks. And everybody out there listening, to you, Danielle, I apologize. I'm sorry. I fucked up.
Can you get it back?
I fucked up. But I equate, I don't know if this is like a men versus women thing. I don't want to like, I always thought to myself, like I always think back to our fighting episode. Like how do couples fight? And I have to think, you know,
is it every episode? Yeah.
No, but the fighting episode.
Wait, I love you. Wait, I really do want to say that. Like, yeah. I love you. I'm not, I'm angry about this all, but I am not, like, I still, like, I don't look at you. A few months ago, I had serious anger about it. And I need to go through therapy for sure about all of this. But we'll talk about this in another episode. But since, like, that night in New York, where we got in that huge blowout, mm-hmm. You have been like a gem.
Really?
Yes. Yes, you really have. You have been incredible. And so when I talk about this, it's cathartic and I want to get it out. But I'm in no way, I don't want to say I'm in no way holding on to the past because obviously I have some issues with it all. But I'm not, I don't look at you and like want to fucking like punch you in the face like I used to
want to. I appreciate that.
Sometimes when if you talk about that it's my fault, then I might.
Well, let me explain to you why.
Okay, but no, I'm not, like, we're not, right now, if we took off the headphones, where sometimes we, like, will go in the other room and fight it out.
I'm not feeling fighting.
I have no feeling towards, like, I want to go in the other room, snuggle, and watch morning show after this.
I like that.
And on our TV.
Yeah. Our nice big 62-inch TV.
Is that what it is, 62
inches? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no
62. Yeah, you would have a 62-inch TV.
I got a cop of tape for something.
There you go.
Yeah. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you're home with the kids, you spend a ton of time with the kids, and you realize all these things that they need, and you're just like...
Working moms, too. You
can't just say but I'm talking about time home with the kids or time at the house. Time that you can say, oh, the kids need this. Let me go on Amazon and buy it. Mm-hmm. The kids need this. Let me go to the store. Let me go to Target and buy it right now. Mm-hmm. Working moms can't do that.
Yeah,
working dads can't do that.
And I have no discipline with.
So
if they need it, I get it for them.
Done. Mm-hmm. And then if you stop and wait an hour and say, oh, okay, maybe they don't need it quite that bad. Mm-hmm. Where if you're a working parent, it's 6 hours later when you come home and you say, oh, I forgot about it. I didn't think, you know, maybe it wasn't. So you're easier to spend money so frequently because it's on your mind and you have the time to do it and you can do it right now. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's
no,
easy.
Definitely.
So like when I'm at work and I see the Amazon thing pop up every
you still get that
fucking hour.
Shit, I thought I turned that off.
If you were working, that wouldn't happen because you'd have to think about all those things, make notes of them, and then come home and think, do I really want to buy it? Do I really need to?
I am working, and most people
I'm
computer.
Saying out of the home, away from the kids, where what you need for the kids is not the top priority and what's on your mind right now.
Okay.
Because you think about, like I just said it, you think about, oh, they need this thing, it's done. It'll be here tomorrow. I bought it. If you're out of the house, if you're not, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a thing too.
Okay.
Stay-at-home moms relate. They get that?
I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah. I'm sure.
I'm not, yeah, I'm being like.
No. I think the difference is that you have absolutely no concept of how much it costs to actually like have kids on a daily basis, because you don't have kids on a daily basis. You have them, you know, when you have them. And even in that time that you have them, you guys are ordering Chinese or ordering pizza and this and that because it's fun and whatever. But, like, they need to eat all the time. And they need to, you know, they need stuff all the time. But do they
all the time?
Is it all
the time because you're the stay-at-home
mom?
It
sure feels like. I feel like I do a $400 food shop, $300 food shop. $400 a few years ago. That was beautiful. But... You know, I do like because we have three kids, a teenager, a tween, and an 8-year-old who doesn't eat shit, but he fucking ache and he snack. And I feel like the next day I've done this whole food shop and I go in the pantry or the refrigerator and I'm like, where the fuck is the food?
I do the same thing because I come down and I want a snack and they're fucking gone the next day.
Right. Well, they just, you know, they've in the last 3 days, there's been like 8 kids at my house. What are you going to say? No, you can't have any more snacks. Right. Like you've reached your quota. You need to go home now because you can't have it, or like, you know, leave some money on the kitchen table if you want another fucking Little Bites package.
Budget the snacks so I can.
Right. Like, we should have like a jar on the kitchen table. Like, every time you take another snack over 2 snacks, you put $1 in.
Good idea.
I know. Always thinking. This is the new Danielle.
And get the other jar for the cursing jar. Because when they say, fuck, it won't open, fuck, they'll put more dollars into the fuck jar.
Yeah, the fuck jar would be. We could go to Switzerland and back. I think it's hard because there was a time, which is also traumatic for me. Let's talk about Danielle's trauma for a second. Wow. I know.
Is there a therapist in the house?
I mean, no joke. This week really opened up, like, it was like the floodgates for me.
What do you mean this week?
When I was thinking about the finance episode and like putting it all together and sort of like, I need to figure it all out. Like I need to talk to somebody and come to some sort of.
No, we need to. We need to go talk to.
Well, I think I have a lot of childhood stuff too. I'm not angry at my parents. I'm not even angry with you anymore. Although my voice would indicate otherwise. Seriously. No, I have anger about all of it, but I don't think it's directed at anybody. I just want to figure it the fuck out and find out how not to have it happen anymore. But there was a time when like there was such a disconnect that you would be driving this awesome car and then I would like go to the food store and my credit card wouldn't work. And my credit card would be declined. Do you know how it feels to be in the middle, like to be holding up the line because your credit card is declined?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, it's happened.
It has to you too. Yeah. And I would have to like call you and you'd have to bring me another credit. Like I don't know if anybody out there has experience. And it went on for a good probably 4 or 5 months where I would go, my heart would start palpitating. I would be sweating. I would be like, none of this adds up because he's gone during the weekends to Atlantic City. He's driving a beautiful car. He's, you know, he wants us to go to New York.
There was a good 2 years.
But that is, that is traumatizing when you are at this or wherever you are. I know it's all relative. It's not as traumatizing as people have it. I know. But it is a traumatizing feeling to be like in your town and somebody you know is behind you in the line at the food store and you're having a conversation and all of a sudden the cashier is like, your card was declined. And they're like, oh no, try it again. Try this one. Declined. And I have to like. They have to put my groceries behind the customer service and I have to call you and you come and like, I don't know what you did, but you somehow bailed me out. And that's traumatizing.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to downplay that.
Thank you.
That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would you like to explain any of it or we need to just go to therapy?
I think we do need to go to financial therapy.
Well, just like, couples therapy for finances.
Well, we need to learn how to properly finance the fuck out of our lives, I think.
Yeah, well, like, we started with the Zeta app, and it's a great start.
Yes.
But I think we need, like, therapy also.
Okay.
Really? Total.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Let's do it.
I'm done. I'll do it.
I'll do it, too.
Yeah.
But I think I've self-diagnosed us. I think we're good.
No, I think we're not.
It's financial trauma.
No, we need fucking help. We need to get some financial shit together and
yeah,
learn what the fuck we're doing, because it's time. At 42 with a 14, 11, and 8 year old.
Yeah, but I really thought, like, I really thought that I was going to marry you and I was not going to have to deal with, and like, you know, my dad used to sit me down and tell me how my spending was affecting us and all this stuff. And when I got together with you, I was sort of like, oh, thank God my life isn't going to be like that anymore. Cause it really was, it affected me greatly. And then, you know, 5 years later, I'm getting the talk from you. Just, I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
wow,
next he's going to be like telling me I smell like a tobacco field and I need to stop smoking.
There is a common denominator here.
Yeah, right. Men.
No, you. It was your dad. All it was right. me. It was all whoever right. you live with, whatever all man right. you live with.
I thought it was going to be different. At least you knew I what you look, married
I
when
wanted,
you married me.
I wanted it to be different. I wanted it. You know, I mm-hmm. love doing those mm-hmm. things. That's what I love
no,
to do.
No, I know. I know you love seeing. Listen, I talk about that ring that I really, really wanted. And it's a gorgeous. It's a beautiful ring. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. It's so gorgeous. Financially for us, it made no sense.
Right.
So I was asking you, you know, I was hinting all the time, you know, oh, look at this one's ring. It's so beautiful and blah, blah, blah. But the money could have been so much better spent. But again, I think I saw you always buying nice things for yourself. And I was sort of like, well, when's he going to do that for me? And would he do that for me? And I was looking for the proof. That was to me the proof. Whereas that's not the proof at all. You know, that is the proof is how you've been treating me for the past since we gotten that huge blowout. That is the proof to me, way more than that.
What
right
have
now.
I been doing? I didn't even realize.
I don't know. You've just been a nice person and it's been a while.
Maybe because I'm not thinking.
I don't know. You seemed like you were going to actively try. Well, it seems like I said. You've been yeah. actively trying. No, you really have been. No ring could do that.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's been easy. So,
well, no, because you've barely been home, but now yeah. it's got to keep going.
I haven't had any, like, talk to you or anything.
I'm trying to think what else. I have all kinds of, I mean, we have to we do have another to, yeah. episode because we'll the stop. Next episode, we're going to solve everybody's financial issues.
Oh.
This was just like a, let's bitch session.
Yeah, this kind
of
was.
Yeah. It's just fine. I mean, we are talking about, I think a lot of it's relatable. I do. Do you think a lot of this is relatable?
Yeah, I do. I just have so many, I have so many thoughts and feelings about like money and where it should be spent and how it should be spent. Like,
first of all, I have a few really awesome experts lined up that are going to come on in the next few months and talk to us about like really buckling down and doing shit. Like I did a lot of research and I found some people and some really good ones were like, yeah, I'll come on your show. And I was like, why? but they will. So, I'm very excited about that. But also, let me tell you, man, on Instagram, I did a whole lot this week. I don't know if you've been stalking our Instagram or
not. No, I haven't even looked this week.
People have some feelings about couples finance, man.
I'm sure. Well, it's the number one
feelings.
Fucking fighting thing.
I
happening.
Got so many DMs that I think I'm going to be answering them until June.
Really?
Yeah, because people were like, I can't fit in that little box, that little question
Why,
box.
Why? You can't put too many words?
No, you can't do too many of the words.
So how many? What you can only do like a
it's
few.
It's like a sentence or two, and they're like, oh, "Here's my financial history with my partner." And blah,
okay,
blah.
So you can't put too much in. It's
no,
like
you
Twitter,
can't put
you
too
can
much
only
in.
Do 100 and something characters.
I don't know how much it is on these questions, okay. but anyway, people were like, "Let me tell you our life story," and blah blah. And I love that, but it's going to take like if you don't get a message back from me till June, just know because it's when it comes to finance, people have some feelings.
I'll answer them. Send them to me.
Go ahead. Yeah, you could talk about televisions.
Give me one right off the spot now, and I'll answer it.
It wasn't a question.
Oh, it's not a question.
It was like more people wanting to like yes, meet like a hashtag like.
Oh, they're like, oh, I'm a stay-at-home mom too, and
no, not even no. It's not a fuck my husband type of thing. No, it's just a like. No, it's hard. What like none of us we weren't taught money. All right, want me to do the polls?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna tell you the polls. Yeah. Okay, so here's the polls. So the polls are. First of all, I said, we're getting ready to record the finance episode. Will Adam and I fight during this episode? 88% said yes.
Sorry, guys. Didn't happen. Next episode.
A little
well.
Bit. I screamed at you a little bit.
Who cares?
Would you say money is one of the top three issues you fight about in your relationship? A couple thousand people answered this. What would you say?
Say that
what
again?
Percentage? Would you say money is one of the top three issues you fight about in your relationship?
Oh, 95%.
60%.
Bullshit.
I know.
No, I don't believe it.
I want to know what people are fighting
about. What else
about.
Is there to fight about?
I mean... there's more stuff. But do you and your partner mostly agree on how to spend your money?
No.
66% said yes.
Really? So I'm wrong.
Yeah. Do you have any separate accounts?
Yes.
Would you want to go back and do that? Would you want to go back and do separate accounts?
I think we might need to.
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
What do you mean we might need to?
Yeah, I think we do.
I get more money in my account.
It's not about the who gets more money.
Yes, it is.
It's about where the money is
I
going
I spend
to.
For five people.
That's what I'm saying. That however much money is needed for which account goes to that account. That's all. It's not about me spending more than you. Those days are over, honey. I love you.
54% have separate accounts.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's necessary.
All right.
I didn't before. Mm-hmm. I think I'm changing my mind.
Well, we already have separate bedrooms. So if you have kids, how would you say you're doing or did saving for college?
Oh, awful. Everybody.
71% said yikes.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you learned healthy spending?
Is college going to be part of this financial thing
okay.
we're doing?
Jamila and Erica from Good Moms, Bad Choices just did a whole college episode. I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh,
I want
really?
To. But they both dropped out of college. So they have feelings similar to you.
Yeah.
No, we have to do a college episode for sure.
Is that part of this finance?
I mean, finance is part of the college thing, yeah. But it's so much bigger than just finance in my head. Because as much as I in New York,
don't get into it.
Okay, fine, we'll do it later.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you learned healthy spending, saving habits growing up? 58% said definitely not. And do you discuss spending and budgeting on a weekly basis? Because Dave Ramsey, your boy Dave Ramsey, says that it should be a weekly discussion.
That's too much. Monthly. It should be a monthly discussion.
When do people find the time? Like literally, you. This is us all week long. Hi. You sleep okay? Yeah. You sleep okay? Yeah. See you later. Okay. See you later. You come home. It's like, hi. I'm so tired.
Yeah,
I'm so
night.
Tired too. Good night. Like, when do people fucking? And then you have date night. I don't want to talk about budgeting on date night. That's the last thing I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So do you discuss spending and budgeting on a weekly basis?
I hope not.
67% said no.
No. Really? So 33% said yes?
33% said yes.
33% of people.
Yeah, but they all work on Wall Street.
Talk about budgeting.
No, yeah, I guess so. Maybe it turns
That's
them
boring.
On.
That's boring.
I don't know if you were sort of like, you know, talking dirty to me like cash. Cash investments.
Did you see that there's a... Like a make it rain machine. There's a gun mm-hmm. that you put the money in and you press the button and it just flips out.
We should have that on our live. We're thinking about doing a live show. We should have that.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but I'm only going to have, we're going to separate the women, the wives from the men, and we're going to just do it on the women's side.
That's funny.
And the men have to watch the women.
Of course. All right, let's stop.
Okay.
Yeah, let's...
All right, can we do a part two, though? Because I want to solve everybody's problems.
I have three. I have so much more information.
And I just want to say it again. I love my parents. I'm not mad at them.
No, and you shouldn't be.
And I shouldn't be. Yeah. I love them. They gave me so many amazing... Listen, they went by what their parents taught them, whose parents taught them, whose parents... We're all fucking it up, and we're all... we are, but we're also killing it. Like, we're fucking it up, and we're killing it all at the same time.
Right.
Both.
Okay.
Right?
How do we do it without money? That's the next question.
I don't know. You move to a country of...
You just go out and you do the barter system. You trade. There's no money. You just
get
work
some
for each other. Get some chickens. Yeah, you raise
chickens.
You trade it for a... Mm-hmm. Whatever. Who cares?
Okay. Maybe just, eventually we'll all
you
be...
You work and trade. That's
maybe
all.
Maybe eventually we'll all be trading in weed. Like I'll trade you this weed for that weed. Pretty soon, Colorado and California are going to be doing that. No cash.
Really?
Just give me weed. That's all they want.
Yeah? Well, everybody's moving out of California.
I know. I want to talk about my CBD experience.
Okay, we're rambling. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get out of here. All right.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to part two, coming soon.
Mm-hmm. Let's go smash that TV in the other room. Or watch Morning Show.
That makes sense. We need the money. Let's smash the TV.
Right. We'll smash it and give out the pieces as souvenirs.
Right. Sign each one?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Rate, review, maybe.
Why is it the end of every episode we're like, maybe don't rate
maybe
review.
Don't rate and review. Well, because we're not everybody's cup of tea. No. If you've made it this far, though, we are some kind of cup of tea of yours. I say that to everybody because sometimes people will be like, should I listen? I'll be like, well, we're not everybody's cup of tea, but people who love us, we really jive with, and we have a love fest going on. Yeah. So either you're part of the love fest or you hate tea.
All right, okay. All right, guys. Have a good night.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.